Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so truly happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, a little background on the podcast. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. My mission is to expand that quote-unquote societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So I've created this space so that I can get to talk to people that have all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have had the honor to have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13, handwriting specialist, biologist, personal organizer, doctor, lawyer, and so many more. And the idea is that by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing all of this and incorporating it into your world daily, I promise you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So, let me introduce my inspiring guest for today is Callie J. Walters. Callie is a mother to five, but more than that, she is embracing all parts of her wild, free, fun, and adventurous spirit that had been squashed years ago. She now uses her story and journey to be the permission slip for other mamas to move from the role to their truth. Callie J stands empowered for other mothers ready to take the journey back to themselves. Oh my gosh, so much power in that. Hello, Callie.
Hello.
Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's evening here, but good morning to you.
Yes, those time differences.
They are. How are you today?
Yeah, doing really well. Excited to be here.
I am so happy that you are here. So, Callie, so your bio is so beautiful because it's short, sweet, and powerful. Could you please give people just a little bit more information before we dive into the conversation about yourself?
Yeah, well, you've covered a lot of it. I am a mom of five. I am an unschooling mama. I like to adventure through my life. I don't believe in letting any day pass without trying to create life to happen. And I really have had the calling to speak and be with other mums that feel like their life is boring per se, and that they don't have all they want in life. So for me, that's a really powerful thing to do, is to share who I am and keep talking about my past, which has been through addiction, through abuse, through a lot of trauma, and using that to move forward in life.
So freaking powerful. Can you please tell people what unschooling means? I'm familiar with the term, but not everybody's familiar.
Yeah, so everyone's got their own definition of what unschooling is. So for me, unschooling is allowing or gifting the children that I have the ability to learn through play and through life rather than through the common textbooks and sitting and reading, writing, all of that sort of stuff. So it's just almost letting them be wild but giving them the guidelines to still journey through this life without, being hurt or having injury.
Yeah, so many hindrances that can happen. Not all intentional within the school setting, not bashing the system, but there can be a lot of limitations.
Yeah, and I used to bash the school system because my eldest daughter had a traumatic bullying experience there. And as time's gone on, I've realized that it wasn't actually the teacher's fault. It's just that there's a flawed way that the system is. And that's how it is. So some people love the environment of the school, and that's perfectly fine. And others need different. And for my kids, they needed a bit different.
That's why they have an LN chocolate. There's, different flavors for different people.
Exactly.
So how, what is the age range of your children?
My eldest has just turned 10, and my youngest has just turned 10 months.
Wow. Okay. 10 is the number right now.
Yep.
10 months, 10 years. Okay. Amazing. You are just, yeah. I'm sure you hear it all the time. I have two, and I'm just like, oh my God. So, wow. You are superwoman to
Some days, yeah. I hear it a lot, and some days I don't believe it, but when I stop and think, it's like,
Yeah.
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty, you're a powerhouse. So before we dive into the conversation fully, I'm going to ask you a would you rather question.
Yes.
And then we'll dive into question one. So, Callie, would you rather sleep with 10 pillows or no pillows?
10 pillows for sure.
Came very quickly.
Yeah, I sleep with a lot of pillows anyway, and my husband sleeps with one, so I like had that little bit of a oh my
That's so funny. It cracks me up every time when I pick the question, it just resonates for whatever reason. But there's a story behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I have slept without a pillow, but I don't know about 10 pillows. I mean, are you laying on top of the pillows? Or are they
Well,
thin pillows? Or.
I imagine them to like lay around me, so I've got them cuddled up, and I'm like, yeah, in this nice cocoon of pillows.
Yes, there we go. Because I was just being very logical for a minute. I just had this ridiculous logic where I'm like, what, they're stacked on top of each other? How could that happen? It would hurt your neck. But, oh my God, Hollis. That was my right brain. Is that my right brain that was like, whatever, being too logical? Anyway, okay. So let's dive in. So the first question, this is going to be a good conversation. So Callie, how would you define creativity?
So I actually, before the show, I've been thinking about this because I didn't, when we first connected, I sort of didn't realize that I didn't have a definition of creativity. And I asked myself, like, what do I define as that? And what came up for me was I define courage as love in action, whereas being creative and creativity is the soul in action.
Ooh. Yeah, tell me more.
Yeah, so when I had that, it came up with, and I came up with, like, when we're being creative, we are in our soul's essence and purpose. We're full of passion and spark and fire, and we're just flowing through life. That's to me what creativity is being able to flow through life in the best way possible for us. And everybody's going to have a different flow, but it's always lit by some sort of spark inside.
Right. I mean, it's been said, and it's so true that who we're speaking to, when who our audience is, when we're on a mission to teach, to share our message, it's to ourselves.
Yes.
Like we're speaking, we want to kind of like heal our younger selves, if you want to say. But shouting the message because we've been through something and we want to save people time.
Yes, definitely.
They don't have to go through all of that.
Yeah, that's so it. And like it even goes down to as being a parent, like I'm courting a great divide at the moment where I'm trying to save my kids from going through a lot of things that I went through, but at the same time still healing my own inner child. So every so often having those sparks that are like my parents' voice coming through, and it's like, oh my God, no, I can't believe that I'm doing that.
Yeah, I mean, we all face that, don't we? I mean, it's like, you know, if you become a parent, it's that whole thing of, you know, am I going to be my mom? Am I going to be my dad? And parts of that come through in certain ways, but then I guess there's the story that comes along with it. There's the good, there's the just stuff that happens, and then there's the trauma, which
No,
you're obviously
that's
don't want
totally it.
to see.
Yeah, and like you try not to bring that trauma and that side of things through, but when we're still unhealed and we still need to face that, it'll confront us every step of the way until we reach that point of whatever the healing needs to be, whether it be forgiveness or reaching compassion just for self, or just letting it go altogether without any of those external necessaries.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, when that comes up, because you have, you know, the range of ages and the infant, and then approaching teenage years, because now it starts that much earlier. It's not even just
Yes.
that 13, like 10 is a pivotal age. I mean, they're all important ages and the ages that they are. But when that comes up for you in the middle of stuff, like, what do you do for yourself? How do you navigate?
Oh, well, this is actually the last week I've been really exploring this because it's been coming up a lot more. And this morning, even, it came up again. Like, I had a moment where my 8-year-old, she is completely the mirror and the reflection. And she's like, I swear, sent here to give me everything I need to heal from. And it's confronting. And this morning I had that big moment where I'm like getting into that yelly sort of stage, which I hate being in. But every time now that I've done it, I come out of it quicker. And so for me, the tool is reconnecting with her or reconnecting with whoever it is, whatever has happened, reconnecting first and then taking some moments just for myself where I'm able to go, look, I'm really sorry, and explain what happened. So this morning I explained, like, I'm having a bit of a sad day. It's a sad day for mummy, and I shouldn't have reacted that way. And from there we had that cuddle, had that, do you understand what I'm saying? And she was able to let me know and tell me back to me what she thought I was saying, which was exactly what I was trying to tell her, so that she could understand that it wasn't her. And then I moved away and I've been able to sit with myself and see that part that's been triggered this morning from me and see that it's okay, and then show myself some of that compassion and love for myself and speak to my inner child that was coming up because of it, and just really nourish and nurture that space. So
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that's really what it's all about then, is just for me reconnecting and showing that I'm human to her and showing that we make mistakes, but we get to move forward and do things differently next time. And for myself, nurturing myself in whatever way, and that's asking myself what's needed right now.
Yeah. Some words that I heard you say that are just kind of sticking out to me so much are nourish, nurture, reconnecting. And I may have said this on my own, but like showing humanness.
Yeah.
So important. And I love that you said that when you were speaking to her, that you had her repeat it back to you. So you could basically hear her perspective and kind of check for understanding.
Yeah, and that's actually been something so new for us to do. Like, for so long, I'd ex just expect her to understand it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that she wasn't understanding half of it. So she was still feeling very hurt by things. And so it would come back up and up and up and up again, because it wasn't, there was no reconciliation. There was no conclusion to it. It had just been left as a loop.
Oh my gosh, it's so. I just want to underline a million times what you just said, and I want to also acknowledge Bridget. Welcome to the space. So glad that you are here. Thank you. Because what I realized at one point in teaching. So I have, you know, been teaching for 30 years, which is like such a weird number to say. But yeah, it's been a long time teaching in lots of different scenarios, but I started to kind of stumble on it more recently, like being in the last 5 years. I left the classroom 2 years ago, but what I found was that when there was conflict happening in the classroom, if I could at the moment and everything was calm enough, I could remove the people that were having the issue and then get so being an art teacher, I got everybody to work that was in the classroom. And then while still being able to see the class, I set a timer for a minute each. And I said, each of you is going to get a minute to speak. This is the rule. You cannot interrupt. You have to listen. And then you will respond and say your piece. And it was so effective because most of them didn't even take a minute. They didn't use up their whole minute, but they listened to each other, and then it cleared things up because, like you're saying, when you realize your daughter wasn't totally getting it, she was kind of stuck in a loop. You just get stuck in your own story or what you hear and don't really digest totally what the other person's saying.
Yeah, totally. And that was even happening, like, it happens even with these guys because there's five kids here. They do that to each other. And so we've applied that same sort of thing, getting them to actually talk and speak their piece and listen, actively listening so that they, yeah, are understanding of each other. And it moves things through so much quicker because there's that understanding, because there's that connection on that deeper level, instead of just being a surface, I said this and I said this and no, no, no. And, you know, it's just that loop that happens, as we were saying.
Yeah. And don't you find that, I mean, that's, I can totally see carrying it, you know, up into adulthood. I can hear the arguments, and I've had the arguments, but you said, but you did this, but you, it's like everybody's cutting each other off and not even listening to what the other person's saying because you're just so caught up. And like you mentioned before, the word emotion, because you're so caught up in your emotion. And meanwhile, you were saying that you very clearly were attaching an emotion to the behavior. So your daughter,
yeah, could
understand. Mom was feeling what you were feeling, and it wasn't necessarily, you know, the proper way or a helpful way to be, but you're human.
Yeah. It creates such a different perspective when you speak like that to somebody. And it's not even just children, but if you speak that like that, even in a relationship of, I'm feeling this because of this, and taking the blame out of it and just going fully into owning what's going on for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge, right? Taking blame away. Oh my gosh. That's like a life changer.
Yeah, definitely. From someone who's lived in victim mode for a lot of her life, taking away blame of the other person and really owning what was going on was a complete life changer. And it's something that I still practice. Like I said this morning, I went into that sort of space of victim. Even though I was lashing out, I was still in victim. And then I owned it and I was like, just everything just cleared.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. It's like when you listen to so many people speak and all of this on, well, you know, we create our life and it's all of our responsibility. And what's here is we're responsible for. You know, you start to be like, what? How can you say I'm responsible for being beaten? How can you say I'm responsible for such lack of, how can I be responsible for it? But then you start to get that kind of understanding within mindset.
Yeah.
Start to see that tweak.
Yeah, definitely. And like for so long that's how it was. I'm like, how dare you say I'm responsible for my childhood? How dare you say I'm responsible for this and this and this? And I could list off a million and one things of how dare this person say I'm responsible for. And in the last 6 months, I've really gone, oh, wow. No, I am responsible for this because I'm replaying it, because I keep doing this and this and this. And I could see how it was playing out over and over again in different circumstances. But because I kept on blaming instead of going, okay, I called that in. Now it's time to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that's so freaking huge. And the way you just said it was so clear. Can you please tell us, before we go to the second question, tell us about, so I know that you're sharing your story so much, like literally you put it in writing and put it in a multi-author book. So could you please tell us about your chapter somewhat?
Yes. Yeah, somewhat. Chapter is all around when I had my third baby and the hit of postnatal depression I had, this sense of lost identity that I had, and this big hole that I had inside that came from coming back as a mother again to three and seriously just not knowing where I was anymore. And so my story and my chapter in that was all around that, showing the side of it from my perspective, because there was a lot of people that could see that I wasn't 100%, but they couldn't see what was in my mind. So I'm actually telling the words that were in my mind, the day-to-day play out that happened in my mind, and how I journeyed through that and came out the other side away from the pain that I was in and turned it into a space that I could flourish from.
So how did that feel with the writing process, like going through that writing process?
So when I first wrote it, I smashed it out and I thought, oh, no, nothing to this. This is easy. And then about a week later, the emotions hit. And when those emotions hit, it was full on like a roller coaster. Like it was easy at first. I'm like, okay, I'm getting it. I'm feeling it. Then all of a sudden the tears just hit and I realized how much I hadn't let that part of me heal. And because I had never spoken about what was actually going on inside my head, it was like this whole thing of, oh my God, what if I'm judged? What if this? And I had the whole what ifs come up. So that created a spiral inside as well. And I took on about a week there where I was just completely lost again, trying to figure out if this was really what I wanted to do, because I was scared of how everyone would react to it. And as I was processing and moving through it, I'd journal some more, I'd speak about it, how I was feeling, and it slowly eased because I was doing all those things. And I realized that afterwards, as I was healing the inside, like my internal wounding that I'd left open, my son and I, who was my third baby, we've been a lot closer since I've done this as well. Mm. So it took on a whole like ripple effect. And since then, I've noticed my parenting even has changed because I'm no longer holding on to the guilt of how I wasn't present enough then, or the resentment that I did harbor that I didn't realize I did towards my children at that stage. So I've been able to move through those sort of emotions and let that go, forgive myself, forgive the situation that was there, and breathe again. So I'm deepening my relationship with my kids and myself, and I've found my passion of speaking about this again. So it's been like I said, a roller coaster and a half, and it's still not over yet.
So I need to hear, I mean, after, so you wrote this, you're like, that's good, that was easy. And then all of a sudden, like you said, there's this open wound, that this wound that just all of a sudden opened up, and it's like, blah, this really, so all of this comes out. And kind of dialing back to when you were actually going through this, what kind of help, were you just alone in the process of all of this? Because you said you weren't talking about it.
At first I was alone for a long, what felt like a long time, but it was realistically the first 3 months I was completely alone. I didn't speak about it until one day I realized that if I didn't speak about it, I wouldn't have been there very much longer. And that's where I told my husband, and I sort of told people, but I only surface leveled it. I said, look, yeah, I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling like I don't want to be here anymore. But it was never really nutting down into it. Like, I didn't let anyone know just how bad it really was. So I got really surface level help, and then took it upon myself to actually help myself.
So as you were doing this, and I guess going back to the, you know, all of the emotions and everything came out, did you make more changes to what you'd written, or was it good as it was?
It was good as it was. I wrote it out of pure download. Like, after I said yes, like, yes, I'll be a part of that, I went for a drive. And for me, driving is like meditating. I go for a drive. If I can't clear it, what's going on in my head, I'll go for a drive. And I had like this sudden inspiration of, oh, I know what I've got to talk about. And when I got home, I just wrote it. I just completely wrote it and let it all flow out like that. I haven't actually read it back myself. I just know what's in there is exactly what's needed to be out there. And it's been exactly what was needed for me to express out.
Wow. I love that. Oh my gosh, I love that. So it was literally like an Abraham Hicks like download. It was just kind of like, wah.
Yeah.
What needs to be said, and so it is.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I'm kind of like looking at the title of what this podcast is permission for mamas to move from their role to their truth. I mean, you gave yourself, it was this download, and there's just so much, I don't know, I just, that word permission to me is just, is so powerful. You really gifted yourself the permission to tell your story, to release it, and get to this whole other level of where you are now.
Yeah, and like since writing the book, that's, this word keeps on coming up, permission, and being a permission for others, and it keeps on reoccurring. Since I've written this book, it's really given me that clarity to understand that I can give myself permission, and by sharing, constantly sharing, I'm giving others permission to stand up and share their truth and to be able to see themselves different and, yeah, move forward like that.
Yeah. So how do you help moms to do this?
So I've got a couple of things going at the moment. I have a group which is my movement, which is aptly named the Mama's Permission Movement, where I have at the moment there's 70 beautiful moms in there, and it's continuing to rise. Mm-hmm. Who are gifted, like I gift freebies there. I do little mini workshops. And I also am affiliated with a platform that is all about the abundant side of life, of being able to be your fully expressed self, authentically, rawly you, and be able to earn an amazing income by doing exactly that. So I support women to go into that space as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I jumped into that a little soon because I know we're going to be talking about it in the end when you tell people how they can connect with you. But I was like, I just have to ask now, how does she do it?
So, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So wonderful. So let's roll into the second question, which is So how do you incorporate more creativity into your life for you, for your family, for whatever that looks like?
So I love creativity in art, in dance, and in adventure. That's how I feel creativity rolls with me. And a lot of it's through music. So we have music playing most days and we'll just get up and dance. The kids love to dance too. So that's a big part of bringing creativity in. We just allow our bodies to move in whatever way flows best, which is for, you can see everyone like lights up with it. It's that, like I said before, that spark gets lit up. And then for me, just personally, adventure is that big creativity of, like, on the weekend we went for a bit of a hike around here and I got back into that basic of rock climbing, which for me is a creative outlet as well, because it's about trying to find where to put yourself, put your body, move through it, being in that zone of just fully present to yourself, allowing the soul to just wander around and be in that space.
Wow. Oh my gosh, you rock climb. That is amazing.
I'm just getting back into it and it's like for that part of it, it was not with the harness and everything. It was just a small area where the kids could do it too, because they love whatever I love at the moment. They're starting to find their passions in life and so they followed both me and my husband in what we do, and they're sort of, yeah, figuring it all out. So it's all like the free rock climbing rather than ropes and stuff, which I actually found a lot more fun to do because you've got to be more there.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, because you're not attached to anything, are you?
Yeah.
Is there a net underneath or something that you can be caught if you fall?
No, this is completely, like, it's out in one of our forests. It's completely free.
Oh my gosh. You are amazing. I'm the joy kill. See, if you haven't gotten that already, in the sense of I had never gone to an amusement park with my kids because they're going on the roller coasters, like the Batman one that like goes upside down, like you're lit, or the Superman one where you're literally like flying and it's twirling and backwards. And I would just be like, no, which is no, I know it's not the right thing. It doesn't promote freedom, but so that's why I don't go with them. That's why I removed myself from the situation. And also, oh my God, when my son was in Costa Rica, he did zip lining.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and he's scared of heights, which is amazing to me because they were really high up and he didn't tell me until they got back. He also just told me that he was climbing inside a tree about 90 feet up in the air, which he never told me, which was smart. he's 21. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things that's probably good for me not to know. But yeah, the zip lining, he's like, he was scared to death because you walk out on a clear, almost like a diving board. And you get all hooked up and then you're gone. Go.
That sounds amazing to me. Like, I'm utterly scared of heights myself, but the feeling of the freeness and just the essence of being that comes from those spaces, oh my God, like, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Wow. So wait, so you're scared of heights?
Yeah, absolutely petrified of heights. Like, you on a normal situation, I can't even get to the edge of like a building. We used to live in an apartment building and I wouldn't be able to get to the edge of our railing, even though we were only three flights up. I couldn't get to the railing edge to actually look over because of how scared of heights I am. Yet I'm the one going out there rock climbing. I love the amusement park things. We've got one that's like 141 meters high, which is called the Big Drop, which my daughter wrote me in, my 10-year-old wrote me into doing with her. not long ago, when she turned 10. And yet, yeah, absolutely petrified of heights.
Wow. So you know what? You are my new role model, because you don't let it stand in your way. You're like, that terrifies me, so I'm going to do it.
I'm leaning into that more and more. That's a big thing of if I'm afraid of it, it's got to be my next level. So I am jumping into that. And it's taken me a while to embrace that side of things, because I've always had that if it's fearful, I'm going to get hurt. So I've had to overcome that side of things. And even writing this book gave me that sense too. And I'm reading a lot of other people's stories that speak of their childhood being very traumatic and the overcoming and where they got to. I'm like, I've got to keep on moving, even if I feel afraid. Like, obviously there's times where you're like, you're scared for a good reason, but when there's just a fear there that's irrational, but you still feel afraid, I'm like, no, I'm doing this. I'm going to do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That's where growth happens, right? I mean, how do we grow if we don't do those scary things?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like really, it's truly leaning into it. I was always, I was really, really shy as a kid, and public speaking and oh my God, what? I mean, I'd be every shade of purple and pink and whatever there'd be. And not like the pretty kind. There'd be blotches everywhere. It was just like, and not just on the face, on the chest, like it was bad. So what did I end up becoming? A teacher. Like, I didn't know that was going to happen, that I'd be standing in front of people with them, with their eyes on me, like looking towards me, whether it was with adults and kids. But each kind of thing that happened, that unraveled it, I guess looking back on it, I see it more, but it was kind of like that lean into, okay, well, I guess I'll try it. And what's the worst thing that could happen? And just kind of growing from that. I'm just really now, you know, being in my 50s and looking back on it, I'm just like, I'm so grateful for every experience. I wasn't saying that while it was happening.
Yeah.
Because it was scary.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm looking at what Bridget said. So facing fear is where the magic can happen. Yep. Yeah, thank you, Bridget. It's exactly where the magic happens, right? It's
that juicy point in life where you're clashing with the ego, with the soul, and there's just fireworks and all the sorts of stuff happening. People don't see it, but it's happening for you. And then you step through it, and it's like stepping through that wonderland and going into that next space for yourself.
Yeah, like your own personal fireworks show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that analogy. That's great. So, okay, so adventure. So now you have me curious. So are there any other things? So the rock climbing, have you jumped? Well, you're scared of heights, but have you jumped out of a plane or anything?
Not yet, because I've always said, why jump out of a perfectly good plane? Now, however, I'm considering and going, that's on my next 5 years. I want to do jumping out of a plane. I want to do parachuting. And where we live actually has people that parachute off of one of our bigger mountain areas. Mm-hmm. And I watch them every weekend when we go up there and they're doing it. I'm watching. I'm like, I just want to be up there and seeing them soar. So that's on my like list of things to do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I don't know. I just came up to ask, like, do you like the mountains or do you like the beach or both?
Both. And where I am is basically bang smack in the middle of both. So I can get to both of them within 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh, you are so lucky.
Yeah. Most times it's mountains though, because I love connecting back into nature and rocks for me. Like, I'm a big crystal person. I love being near rocks that I can just like lean against and feel, and it feels like coming home to me. So that's my like go-to. But then I love water. So going out into the beaches and just being able to sit amongst that space as well is, yeah, beautiful for me too. But
It's funny. I was sharing this story with somebody recently. Years ago, we lived in California, and I went with a roommate to a yoga class. So it was the end of the class, and we were in Shavasana, and she's taking us through this, visualization. And she was talking about, you're running through the desert. And I was just like, oh my God, that is so anxiety provoking. I'm like, no. So in my head, I'm rewriting the script. I'm like, we're at the beach and we're hanging out and we're like, da da da. So beach, sand, ocean. So it's over. We're rolled up our mats, walking back to the car, and my roommate and I were talking, and it was so funny. She's like, it was so weird. She's like, I was running through the desert and went up this mountain, and I looked over and there was an ocean. I'm like, that was mine. That was my
Awesome.
that amazing?
But who does a desert when you're trying to relax? Just as soon as you said that, I had this moment of, oh my God, no, don't do that.
I know, right? I just thought snakes. Like, that is
I
so
think
unnerving.
scorpions are my big thing of, no.
Are they really big in Australia?
Well, actually, the smaller they are, the worse they are. So I don't mind them too big.
Okay. Oh my God. So, but that whole like vibrational thing and that energy thing, going back to that visualization, it's so powerful. The fact that you could be laying next to somebody and it's just amazing, isn't it? This world and what happens with us and what we don't necessarily understand what goes beyond the mind's eye.
Yeah, totally. And what you're saying right now actually, like, it resonates to me with me and my husband, with a dream that we've both had and we'd never discussed until recently. And it sort of goes into this energy side of things. I've had for years this dream of a property, a place where I was living, which had like trees down the side of it, and they've got like that beautiful willowy sort of feel to it where they're half le leaning over each other. Now, we'd never discussed this. And the other day we were driving and I saw something that looked similar and I started to speak about it and went into detail. And he's just looking at me going, And then s interrupts me and then says, and does it have this? And I'm like, yeah. And we worked out, we've both been having this same vision for where we were living in the future since we were, before we met. And it's just been continuing on and getting more detail as we've gotten older and been together. And yeah, so that energy, when you find the right person in your life, or even not always the right person, but when you're connected to somebody, it's amazing what you can see together.
Wow. So you were even dreaming, were you, so wait, so for clarity, were you dreaming about this space before you were with him?
Yeah, so I've been dreaming
Yeah.
about it since I was about 11, 12. We've known each other since we were 16. So,
Okay.
to give perspective.
It's my husband's been dreaming about a space. And he sees everything about it, and it just keeps getting clearer and clearer and clearer. It's just amazing to me. That is so incredible that you both have been seeing this. Wow.
Yeah, it kind of stunned me when in those moments where you're like, wow, this world is so much more than we realize. Just looking at that alone, it's like, holy wow.
Yeah, but it really is capturing those moments, right? And so much
Yeah.
about connection and just so much literally about connection and being dialed in to each other. I mean, this is my husband and I have been together for a long time. We've actually been, God, I think it's like 30 years, which is again weird. 30, 31 years, something like that. I don't even know anymore. Whatever. It was like 22. And but I remember like in the beginning when we got together, he said, I had a dream about you when I was a kid. and I heard your voice, and now you're here.
Oh, wow. How special.
I was like, oh my God, I didn't have a dream about you. I'm sorry. But I mean, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, that gives me goosebumps.
But anyway, okay. So what other kind of adventure? Anything else that you want to share with how you bring creativity into your life?
Well, I mentioned driving being like meditating. So driving and traveling is for me a creative outlet as well, because for me, a car and me can move together. And so for me, creativity, if you haven't noticed, is about movement as well. Mm-hmm. And so that travel aspect for me brings in creativity as well, because you get to create the day by where you're traveling to and what experiences you make. So that brings in that adventure, creativity, travel, all that goodness.
Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to you to think about like getting into a car and just driving to, is there a destination or can it be just open, like wherever?
Just open wherever. Like sometimes, like yesterday even, we just like, we need to get out of the house for a couple of hours and we'll just jump in and we drive and we go, okay, we're going to turn down this way now. And we'll just turn down random streets. And sometimes there'll be a dead end. And it's like, awesome. We know what's down here now, and turn around and just keep on going.
That is amazing. I mean, there's so much discovery in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you, do you know how to read maps?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, I didn't think. Which is the total opposite of what we're talking about, but yeah.
It's kind of funny because I have done a lot of the, what's it called, that thing where you go out in the forest and you're like navigating yourself back home without the map. I can do that, but I can't do map work.
Wow. So wait, so you can go out into the forest and just kind of visually see, oh, like where they have signs and stuff on where to follow kind of thing?
Well, signs or like just knowing the placemat of where things were when you were coming in so you can find your way out. Not necessarily with like little dots or anything like that, but just,
yeah,
just knowing where it is.
Wow. So you're really good spatially.
Most of the time. Yeah. I don't know. Reversing in a car, I'm like really crappy at knowing how far back I'm needing to reverse or go forward or where I am. Like that sort of spatial. Yeah, no. But otherwise, yes.
I have to say, living in New York definitely got me good at parallel parking.
No, I don't do it that much. I was a country girl relocated to suburbia, so I haven't needed to know too much when it comes to like really tight spaces. And it's not that much of an advantage now.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. So driving, traveling in a car, do you like to fly in planes?
I've only ever been in one plane to, or two planes to go down to Sydney and back. So that's like, I'm in near Brisbane, down to Sydney and back. And then one other plane when I was about like six, and that was going over a country field day. So I like the idea, but I like the idea of boats more. So there's that.
It's so funny because our kids have, they've been on planes now, but our daughter went to Israel. So we're in the States on the East Coast in New Jersey. And then she went to Israel, which is like a 16-hour plane ride, stopping over in, I think she stopped over in Germany. But anyway, she's like, couldn't we have gone to Florida or something, which was like an hour and a half ride? Because that was her first plane ride. I was like, go big, go long, babe. This is how we do it. Yeah, gratefully she was good. She was okay.
So, that's awesome.
So moving on to the third question. So, so Callie, so why do you think creativity is important?
I really feel that if we don't allow creativity to come through us, our soul doesn't get to experience, and we don't get to experience life in its fullest. There isn't that joy and passion in life. And for me, with the thought of not having passion in life just sounds really dull and not living at all. So for me, creativity is like the, it's one of those really necessary spaces of life to live it to the fullest.
Would it be a proper thing to say, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that what you were referring to that you wrote about in your book, your third child, that that's when you started feeling more passion?
Yes, definitely. Like I had, diving a little bit deeper into my background, I came from a home of addiction, child abuse. I dealt with it by being an addict myself. I then went into rehab to deal with the addiction, fell pregnant, and was from then on trying to find who the frig I was. Mm-hmm. And by the third child, I'd still felt that loss, that I felt a deeper sense of lostness by that stage because I'd never really found myself to begin with. And now I had three children. I was always the stay-at-home mom. I'd lost my purpose in job-wise. Like I used to work as a nurse and then also did cleaning work. I'd done all these different bits. I'd done so much study, and it was all, felt like it had all been stripped away from me because I had three children to look after, constant nappies to change, lunches to make, fucking school runs to do. And between it all, I was just done. You could see in my eyes there was just dullness, and that's probably why I was so needing to escape being just one role and really come forward as finding that spark again, because I was sick of looking in the mirror and seeing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, because it's very personal, and just so appreciate you sharing, you know, that part of you. But I think what you are, I mean, your role is so, so important in what you're doing and what you're putting out to the world. But I think also, I mean, there's such a commonality just in the fact of women and men who, you know, could be stay at home or even just, no, I'm just going to say men in general, is we fall into this one role so often, right?
Yeah.
Like men are often like, we go off to work and we're the, where we have to provide. And women do that too. We have to go off to work. We have to provide, or I am a mom and I need to be a mom before everything else and put myself on the back burner until they're older and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And like, I can think of, well, my husband's the same, and I've got a close male in my life that they're like, my husband used to be, I don't know who I am without being busy, without working with my hands. And my friend, he's the same way. He doesn't know what he'd be if he wasn't going out and doing that life, and it's breaking him. It's literally breaking him. But because there's that, I don't know who I am without, then there's no way to see past that.
Yeah. So I think that's a really important thing to underline. Like, I literally wrote it down and I underlined it and put it out to the listeners. Ask yourself that, and I don't know, maybe reword that, or we can reframe it. Like, I don't know who I am without blank. Fill in your blank. And then And you can help me on, you know, this concept, but I'm thinking reframe. I mean, would the next step be reframe? What would you say?
Yeah. So when you started saying that, I was like, I'm a big journaler. So I'd be writing down that statement of, I don't know who I am without. And I'll use myself as the example for so long was without being a mum, without being here for my children. What I want to create for my life is blank, and then writing whatever it is. How I can do that is by, and then adding in whatever's in that end. So letting it be progressive and seeing where it takes the writer or the listener. Sometimes you can be listening to your soul's answers rather than writing it down. However it works for you, because everybody's going to be different. Like, I'm a journaler. My husband, he doesn't like to write, but he gets the same sort of value in his own way as well.
Mm-hmm. So important what you just said. I love that scaffolding of what you, like, I don't know who I am without. What I want to create for my life is, how can I bring that into my life? I mean, that's gold right there.
I love journal prompts because of that. And I've put out, like, I've made journal prompts for myself and for others that are feeling a bit lost. And everyone always says, once they've started journaling or once they've started inquiring, like, the right question with curiosity can change your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that goes back to creativity. You've got to be able to imagine and create from not just your mind and your ego, but from that deeper place.
Yeah.
And be willing to imagine. Because if we can imagine it and we can see it in our mind's eye, in our mind, in our dreams, then we can create it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's already here, right?
Exactly. Like, there's no way we'd be able to see it unless it wasn't here already.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. And before we close up, I want to also just say, for those who don't really like journaling so much, something that you can do also, which I've done in my car, is I just put on a videotape and or do an audio recording and just put it down and just talk and just kind of go through a rant and just record myself so I can go back and listen. And so much comes out.
Yeah. Like, I've done that one too. I don't find it as helpful for me because I love reading back rather than listening to my own voice auditorily back. Mm-hmm. But there's the other thing that I've found helpful is, and it came from doing it with you actually, was the doodling again. Like, I used to be such an artistic person and I let that one slide, and that goes into creativity as well, which is beautiful. But the artistic side, sometimes we won't have the words to express or we won't be able to write it. But when you start drawing the stuff that comes out, like I did one night after the session with you, I had one night where I was just really heavy. And so I started just drawing, and it was like a landscape drawing that came out, but it had so much clarity in it for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so glad that you got such value out of that. And I think that there's something really, some nights, and I'm not as, I've been wanting to do it every night, but sometimes I like skip a few, but it's literally starting with a line and just like scribbling on a page and then seeing what wants to come from it. And it's just, it's really is a meditation.
Yeah. Like I've brought that back into my life when it's that after my writing, if my writing doesn't work, if my dancing doesn't work, then my drawing and doodling and just scribbling, mm-hmm. it releases it all. And I'm there where I need to be again.
I love it. I love it. And Bridget said, record onto Otter app, talk to text. Ooh, that's a good idea, Bridget. Thank you for that. Yeah, wonderful. So, Callie, this has been, we are at the top of the hour, and can you please tell people how they can find you?
Yep. So on Facebook, I am available underneath my name, on Insta under my name, and in Facebook, I have my movement group, which is called the Mama's Permission Movement, or I have a website, which is carlyjwalters.com without the www because it doesn't go to it. And you'll find all my links there and a little bit of freebies and some juiciness from me there.
Well, Callie, thank you so much for spending this hour with us. I know you are a very busy person, and I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your story.
No, thank you for having me. This has been an amazing conversation.
Oh, I'm so glad. It really has. I have learned so much, and I am going to be a lot. Just the fact that you're scared of heights and you rock climb, I am inspired. So inspired. So to the listeners, thank you so much for people who joined us live. We so appreciate you. We know time is precious. Those listening to the replay, this space is all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread the goodness and share these stories and perspectives because we all grow from hearing them. So please, and if you could also, this is also the podcast, Creative Conversations with Hollis Citron, is also, you can find it on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify. If you could please review and like, would very much appreciate it and helps in all those analytics. And just wishing you a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. So thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.